Oh, it's a Monday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here at 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. I'm Joe Rexrode coming at you, microphone one. Nick Keyser producing, intern Brandon in the house. And look at who keeps coming back. Paul Kuharsky, paulkuharsky.com. He's got a big Hall of Fame case to make tomorrow for a candidate, and he's in for Robbie Stanley.
Committee meeting tomorrow. I am sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. Easy backyard lawn installations that look great and get you maintenance free. No more fertilizing, watering, or mowing. Check them out at nashville.grass365.com. Joe, I'm in the home stretch here just a couple more days. So the people who are enjoying it, soak it up. And the people who are hating it, don't worry, it's almost over.
There you go. And for Robbie Stanley, oh, man. See, I didn't really, I don't know about you, but I didn't really get like paternity leave, but what a feeling that must be. You know, you're about to have to go back to work. I mean, I do remember.
I think I had like a couple days.
Yeah, like that's the same with me. It was like a couple days and then you get back to work, but hopefully everything's going well with Allison and Robbie. We'll be back Wednesday. We're in the game studio sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Robbie and Rex Show is presented by T.G. Anderson Homes and Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are going to talk Titans heavily today. We actually have a preseason game to go through and then reaction from Vrabel yesterday. I do want to start, though, Paul. I want to apologize to my family publicly. And I don't know if what has happened is what I think may have happened, and I really hope not. But I'll tell you the quick story I told you right before the show. So I buy these big things of chicken breast, and a lot of times, I mean, sometimes I'll cook it all, maybe different recipes. But my son, my middle child, does like to cook a little bit too. So sometimes he has this little chicken thing he makes with some spices, garlic. You know, he's a football player. He's all protein and right. So I left two of the chicken breasts. I made Greek chicken last week. You know, you marinate it. You get some like red wine vinegar, some olive oil, some garlic, some fresh lemon juice, some paprika. You know, you put
Delicious.
It in the... Yeah, you put it in the fridge for a few hours and you cook that up. It's a great dinner. I left the other two restaurants. So yesterday I'm coming back from Chicago and my wife texts like the family thing. She's like, so we need to throw this chicken out, right? I'm like, well, the sell date was today. The sell date was the 13th. So I'm like, I think it's fine. Just cook it. So I get home. It hasn't been cooked yet. I cook up, you know, I just make up some quick like, you know, taco seasoning, chicken tacos. My daughter had one. I had one. At least one of the boys had one overnight. I found that out. And the way I feel right now, I probably should have just thrown out the chicken. Now, I could be wrong.
Sell by date sounds safe to me. I would
think so too, right?
If I ever cooked, I wouldn't have hesitated to.
Yeah, I love cooking, although this may reduce my love for it a little bit. So the heartburn's pretty rough right now, and I kind of feel queasy here. So, well, first of all, we'll try to get through this show. I may lean on you heavily before you leave. What are you leaving for coordinators, right?
Yeah.
In the 8 o'clock hour. We'll probably listen to that, by the way. I think we'll probably listen to Tim Kelly if he goes as scheduled at 8:45. Just I've got that feeling a little bit, kind of, you know, it's like, you know, the meat sweats feeling, but like shouldn't have the meat sweats feeling this long after eating. You know what I'm saying? I hope I'm wrong.
You look better than you're talking. I'll say that.
Well, I hope I'm wrong. And, you know, I'm going to be hearing from the family soon when they wake up. And then I'll probably know. Like, am I overreacting right now? Everything's fine. Or did I just poison most of my family?
Well, I think they'd be up maybe if they were ailing.
Maybe. Yeah. But, I mean, I slept, you know, through till now. And then it just... Yeah, you know, maybe it's just heartburn. I don't have heartburn usually if I'm being healthy. So, yeah. All right. So,
more importantly, your Springsteen review.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Went to Bruce Springsteen for the first time Friday with my brother-in-law at Wrigley Field. It was great, man. I mean, I wasn't surprised that it was great. I expected it to be great. So it wasn't like it blew away my expectations, but yeah, it was very good. And, you know, I'm trying to think in terms of, you know, you're right. The set list was very similar from the two nights earlier at Wrigley, although there were a little bit of.
Yeah, he's taking
there.
A lot of heat from the diehards for
kind of
lack of variation.
Yeah, for kind of.
But you know, he did that 2 years of Broadway where he did the same thing every night and kind of thematically, and he feels like this show thematically, and I think he's thinking it's probably the last E Street tour, and he really likes it. And
I mean, it's great.
You know,
so. But I understand. Like, if you're a diehard, you want more just the out-of-nowhere deep cuts and stuff, right? And I don't know. It's interesting to me, like, the encore, you know, like, four songs, and it's funny because I feel like a lot of Springsteen fans hate, like, Dancing in the Dark, right? Don't you know what I mean? Like, that album or a lot of that album, it seems like.
No.
No?
I mean, that's Born in the USA.
Yeah.
I love that album. But, I mean, Dancing in the Dark is maybe played out for a lot of people. That's all.
I mean, I thought it was, you know, I loved all that, but I thought about the diehards, like, are they happy to hear, like, Glory Days and stuff right now? I don't know. But it was good, man. It was really good. They rocked out. I mean, the sax player is really good. And little Steven Van Zandt's out there, you know. Bruce Springsteen's 73 years old. I was sitting there, I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there watching the show. I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this fourth beer. That dude's 70. I'm 50. That dude's 73. Look at that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
so when I took Teresa and Simon to Greensboro to see him, right after that, we were watching the basketball tournament, and Jim Larrañaga was coaching.
Right.
And I said to Teresa, that guy is 73. Jim Larrañaga looks like, you know, everybody's grandfather. I was like, he's the same age as Springsteen, who we just saw last night, you know, or whatever. Like, that's the same.
No, I mean, like, seriously, is he like human growth hormone? Or, like, what is the guy done?
I mean, he's always
absurd.
Lifted and exercised and whatever. And I'm sure he's also talked about, like, people ask him what he feels like the next day. And he's like, well, you got to like that. Like, he likes feeling beat to hell the next day. That's like part of the process.
They do. I notice they don't do a lot of back to back nights.
No,
which is good.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes sense. But no, man, I'm really glad I got to see it. And you know, it's like a lot of bands that you just never end up. It's like you have to. So I would highly recommend anybody, if you have a chance, go see Bruce Springsteen. And there's some songs too that I want to go find now that they played. You know. Like, I knew probably about half the set list, which I think still puts me ahead of a lot of people.
Yeah.
I would say, like, the real casual Springsteen fan probably knew about a quarter of it.
You probably didn't know the old stuff, E Street Shuffle, and stuff like that from early.
Right. So, but yeah, man.
Kitty's back.
It was fantastic. Great stuff. And on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025, Dustin suggests that maybe it was mislabeling with the chicken. Could have been pushing last minute before they moved the date back. Yeah, I don't know, man. Let's just hope, you know, as we play out with this show, we'll probably have a better feel for whether I messed myself up or not here. Chuck is excited for Overreaction Monday. Here's a text. The five injured Titans Saturday. We have to talk about the five injured Titans. So, first of all, you know, you don't like to see guys get hurt. I think you had a tweet about somebody who looks like they might be in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Long term.
Ward, I mean, Ward's not the one who's in trouble. Ward, to me, might be the most.
The most significant.
Most significant, most concerning.
He's had a nice camp.
I don't have a roster in front of me. It's Shaquille.
Yeah, Shaquille.
Shaquille
Brown.
Shaquille Brown is likely done for the season.
And this guy, I don't think, you know, he wasn't going to make
no roster lock. Yeah, for sure. So I think people look at that and they're concerned because, oh, here come the injuries thing. But, you know, it's also people in the second half of the first preseason game who are generally not people who are on your 53.
Yeah, I mean, in this particular game, I mean, you're talking basically no defensive starters at all on the field, dressed, you know. So, and this is one of those things.
Who's the highest ranking person? Weaver, probably.
Weaver. I mean, Gibbons may start, so he did start, and then Molden, I think, is definitely going to be out there a lot. I mean, those three guys. Maybe it's Peavy. I counted four guys that I think we'll see in real games for this team defensively. And, yeah, like probably just one of them starting if Gibbons does, in fact, go all the way through and keep. And
which I would think he would, since Monty Rice played seven snaps.
Yeah, like that's a really interesting, and I've thought about that both ways. Like on the one hand, I don't think that's good. I mean, he's behind Gibbons, so then he only gets seven snaps. But sometimes you see a guy get very few snaps, it's because they don't have to see that
much. Well, Kyle Phillips got four snaps. We know what that is.
Exactly.
That's him being very close to the did not play list. We don't need
right.
to see him. I don't think they don't need to see Rice.
So why do you only play him seven snaps?
Injury protection. Like maybe he's got a little something, but if he had a little something, they wouldn't have played
then
him
why play
at
all.
Right.
So. That's a curious one.
Yeah.
It's a curious one because, yeah, I actually figured we'd see more of him than Gibbons. How many snaps did Gibbons have? Do you have that?
Yeah, it'll take me a second.
But I figured we would see more of Rice than Gibbons because right now Gibbons has demonstrated more.
Gibbons played 11 on defense and 5 more on special teams.
Yeah. Now, Chance Campbell, of course, was, you know, all over the place. But on the injury front there, you know, this is – you know, in-game injuries, whatever happened, I mean, certainly you had some, I mean, lower, you know, some leg stuff that happened.
Colton Dow, who was taking an IV late as well as and suffered a leg injury, but I think he came back to finish.
Yeah, I think he was okay.
Yeah.
But again, with these, like when we talk about the Titans and they're trying to avoid the injuries and all that stuff, what they're trying to do is really avoid the soft tissue injury. Stuff like this is stuff that just happens in a football game, right? There's gonna be stuff. Like I separate the two, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, and frankly, it was good luck for them that key guys weren't hurt, and I guess you could also look at that as like this is why Vrabel and other coaches don't play their key guys as much, though some coaches around the league are playing key guys more, it seems, this preseason. It's still not a ton, though, right? I mean, it seems like even all these, there's a lot of like this starter starting, and it was like a series or two for the most part, right?
Yes.
So,
and some of them were, you know, three snaps series.
Right. So, so the Titans, by the way, they lost 23-17 to the Bears, if anybody cares. A lot of stuff to get to this. Coming up next, I think maybe we should talk about the group that has been the most criticized. Actually having a nice, brief day. Coming up next, Robbie Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What is maybe Coach points you'll take from this game, maybe moving forward out of what you saw yesterday?
Conditioning, you know, playing at noon in the preseason. I think conditioning for some of those guys that played extended snaps is critical. Can't let that affect, our ability to understand our job. You know, affect communication, you know, just from, you know, being tired, but we have to know where to line up. We got to be able to work together. So I think the conditioning is critical. The ability to show these guys how critical special teams are and the role that they play, you know, whether that's our ability to cover kicks. You know, we had some opportunities at kickoff return where we had some space and then it was one guy or a penalty that puts you inside the 10 or the way we cover kicks. You know, we got to punt the ball better. You know, we absolutely have to punt the ball better. So I think that, you know, because special teams in practice is, you know, it's you get the early period and then maybe you come back with one later on. But I think it's hard for them to understand how that plays a part in the momentum of a game, you know, whether we go in and score and then we have to go cover a kick. And if we're able to stop them inside the 20, you know, start them backed up, just the starting to get these younger guys to understand the flow of the game and how critical as special teams is setting the table.
That was Mike Vrabel. An extensive answer from Mike Vrabel. Yesterday, kind of going back through the Bears-Titans preseason game, Vrabel, of course, you know, Vrabel was way down the sideline most of the day, you know, just way over here to the side, just trying to just watch, you know, not really talk to people. And Terrell Williams did the head coaching duty. Great presser after the game, too, from Trell. Like, hey, come back anytime, man. Come back anytime and be the head coach. And now it's back to business as usual. Titans practice today, and then they fly to Minnesota, I guess, tomorrow. You fly to Minnesota tomorrow for sure, right after the show.
Fly to Minnesota late tomorrow.
Oh, late
with
tomorrow.
A long layover in St. Louis because of my Hall of Fame meeting. So
yes.
That will be fun.
And you were making the case for Buddy Parker.
I'm making the case for Buddy Parker, who coached the Detroit Lions to two championships and set them up for another. Once upon a time, walking the earth, the Detroit Lions were very, very good.
Yes. Yes. My Uncle Bill was, yes. He was in second grade in Ohio. It was an amazing time of his life. So, very exciting. I hope you're successful, because the Lions have one playoff win since Buddy Parker won a championship. I'd like to invite everyone to join 102.5 The Game and Robbie and Rex Show, broadcasting from 6 to 9 for two Dunkin' Grand openings here in Middle Tennessee Friday. They'll be out at 350 Highway, 190 South in Lebanon. We will. And next Monday, we'll be out at 206 Indian Lake Boulevard in Hendersonville. Come out for coffee, food, and great opportunities to win prizes. Hopefully, I won't have meat sweats for that. And Paul Kaharski here.
I'm here thanks to Nashville Grass 365. They can install turf around your pool, which means no more grass in the water and no more dirt tracked into your house. Head to nashville.grass365.com to learn more.
Okay, so you feeling good about that starting offensive line now? Did that one touchdown series, did that make you feel good? Like, everything, all is well?
I mean, it was a lot better than what we have seen and what we expected. But as you referred to in the post-game press conference with Terrell Williams, DeMarcus Walker, and Yannick Ngakoue, two starting defensive ends, Tremaine Edmonds, starting linebacker, Jaquan Brisker, a starting safety, four members of Chicago's starting defense were not on the field. That's a factor to me.
But real quick, again, the Titans didn't address anybody, but that means they did have like six, seven guys who were starters on the field. I mean, that for a preseason game anymore, that's not bad.
No. Yeah. Listen, I mean, they played who was in front of them, and they played well. Blake Bedingfield, the former scout who writes for me, thought Skoronski was fantastic. Tajay Spears was excellent.
Yeah.
Exciting.
He looked good.
And, you know, Malik Willis managed the drive very, very well. So there's a few complaints to have about what was done in that series. And Terrell Williams made it sound like as if, you know, maybe there would have been more for that line had it not performed so well and had such a good drive.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a general snap count.
Right.
So if they go three and out, they'll come back out.
Right. You know, but it doesn't play.
Three and out, and three and out, they might get a third series. But yeah, you get a long series. You saw, I did think running the ball. Yeah, Skoronski. There are a couple plays where you're like, wow. I mean, he's getting pushed. But I thought Dillard in run blocking also looked very physical. It's interesting because we've talked about this line and how, you know, they project more as a pass blocking line. That's supposed to be. It's more of a pass blocking line than a run blocking line. I think even in when it's been good against good in camp, I think some of the interior run stuff has been like the best looking stuff they've done as a line. And you kind of saw it here too. With Spears, you can do a little projecting. Now, I don't know how much this line will be the line next year, but you can do a little projecting the future of maybe Spears having a bigger role, you know, after this year. But I think some kind of role this year. He's dynamic.
Yeah, certainly he's going to have a role this year, you know, especially on third down. You know, he had one catch for 4 yards. That wasn't the highlight of what he did. The first run was very good, where he started left and found a cutback, and there was a little bit of a wall established for him to work to his right. I thought that was the most encouraging thing about the whole game, really, with those 12 snaps from that offensive line playing well. Because the offensive line play after that, I know, you know, Williams encouraged us to spread the blame to everybody and all of that. But 8 sacks for each of the other two quarterbacks and generally steady pressure from the rest of Chicago's front against Willis and Levis and some offensive linemen led by Rupsich maybe and some other guys having a hard time.
Duncan had some troubles.
Yeah, it's not a good sign. And we know this team is not deep, and this game advertised that the offensive line is one of the places where it is not deep.
Yeah. You know, I thought that some of those sacks – You could look at the quarterbacks and say maybe a little bit more Levis.
Levis, where he got caught from behind. where he's got to know, all right.
Got to feel that a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit better.
I mean, a guy's recovered, had been blocked into the backfield and now has recovered to come and get me. He did a good job protecting the ball on those, even where he might not have felt the guy, but once the guy gets there, he covered it up.
Yeah.
Which is a good sign. I know Malik's one fumble was you know, kind of as he threw, but ball security issues with him. And, you know, Chris Moore didn't do a great job securing the ball. I know both times he was okay, but needed to be better than that. And Vrabel talked about emphasizing that this week.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he had, he had a very close to a fumble, and then it turned, was an incompletion was the ruling on the second one.
I thought the second one was very clearly incomplete. I thought the first one was more challengeable by Chicago. I don't know why they challenged the second, not the first.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why they challenge any of them. It's a freaking preseason game. We don't need any challenges.
You
got to
challenge the operation, Joe, and get all that. You want to? Doesn't matter if you're, you know, got plans in Chicago.
More than 3 hours. Yeah, but take that away from it. Just in general, any preseason game anywhere can't go past 3 hours.
I know,
right?
But the officials ask for challenges. I'm
Yes, yes. Well, I agree. The starting offensive line. Look, it's take it. Take the positivity. Take the good snaps and roll forward with that now going into Minnesota and get to see a couple days of the Vikings defense. Some pretty good players over on that, you know, the Vikings defense. What Flores now, their D coordinator. I mean, it's a positive, but you're right. It's another example. I guess it shouldn't be a surprise. Like if you're worrying about a team's, you know, starting offensive line, you probably don't have a great situation with the twos and threes. Although in practice, Paul, I feel like, and it's probably just the quality of the ones defense compared, but like I feel like Levis and Willis have often had cleaner pockets than Tannehill going with those guys blocking for them, but they're going against the Titans.
Yeah, and the Titans defensive line and outside linebackers on twos are another depth issue. So
yeah, so I'm with you. I'd say that's probably the most encouraging, although I guess I would argue with you. You know, just because it was such a small sample size, I did come away from this. And look, I was probably going to write about the quarterbacks no matter what. It would have taken something crazy for that not to happen.
Well, it's hard to write about, 12 snaps.
Yeah, but I mean, if something extraordinary happened with the kickers, and we'll get into that, by the way. But I do think another takeaway from this game is that, like, the Titans have a chance to be okay at backup quarterback. And also, I don't know where it's going to go with Levis and Willis, but I'm very interested. And we're going to talk about those two and compare their days next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You mentioned the conditioning is something you want to see continue this week. But as you guys get ready for Minnesota, what's that next?
Well, I think it's just the game conditioning. You know, just being able to point out, like, you think that during practice that you're tired or there's a water break or the horn blows. Like, that was what really showed up as the drive wore on or – the ability to get off the field, same way as on the first drive if we're able to convert first downs and, you know, go down there and ultimately score. So that's the biggest thing. But I also think that you get into that by practicing and continuing to add reps and trying to string, you know, 5 and 6 plays together where maybe early on in camp you're not going as many. But I think the best way to condition is being out there and playing and practicing that way.
It was Mike Vrabel yesterday talking about Saturday's preseason loss to the Bears. What was it 23-17, Paul? Is that right? That the score?
Sure.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. So, Titans lost to the Bears. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Schrode. Joe Rex Schrode, Nick Keyser producing, intern Brandon, Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley.
Courtesy of Nashville Grass 365. Get yourself a great backyard green and turn yourself into your foursome's best chipper and putter. Check them out at nashville.grass365.com.
You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. If you're watching today, I do have the meat sweats. I hope it's just, maybe I ate too much. And it's not that I decided to cook bad chicken last night. But as the kids get ready to go to school, we're going to find out. We're going to find out if I have poison in my family. In the meantime, Paul, let's get back into the time. So we're going to talk quarterbacks, but I did want to get to this thought, okay? I think we just talked about the offensive line. I love when we can get confirmation through action as opposed to try to get comment on things. Like, to me, the people who are on the field were very clear message. Titans feel real good about their defense. They feel good about their skill guys. And I would say they should, okay? I'm not saying that, like, we know that Treylon Burks is lined up for a 1,500-yard season or Hopkins is going to play all year, but their skill guys on offense and basically their entire starting defense, that looks good. The starting offensive line is a huge, huge question. So those guys played, and a lot of other guys did not play. Did you have any – were you surprised at all, or did you have any issue with the, like, participation strategy for the Titans Saturday?
Wesco, I'm curious about. Is he dinged?
I think he's dinged.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
So with the starting offensive line, I'd like to see the chief blocking tight end. That would be really my one question. And you'd like to see him somewhere in the preseason. We know Mac is dinged. So tight end is the one spot where I was left most curious, and I'll be most wanting moving forward.
And Raider got a little dinged also in the game.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised about anything else, really. And we'll see going forward. Hopefully they don't add anybody to that list. Though clearly probably a couple of these guys that were hurt aren't going to be practicing against the Vikings here in a couple days.
The one guy that I thought might be worth playing is Chig. And so it's kind of to your same point. Yes, Wesco is definitely – he is the blocking tight end. I guess he's Swain. But he's also – I think he's going to be like the fullback too when they line up. They had an I formation snap, just straight I formation with Raider lined up as the fullback Saturday. So I think Raider's also.
I think they could put any of those tight ends in that. I think
they could.
Too big a deal about that.
Well, no, but I'm just saying. I think that role, I mean, like you just said, Wesco is. I mean, he's going to be a big part of the run game, but. Chig's an important player, so I understand you don't want to get him hurt. But I also would say it seems to me like Chig, because you want him to be so involved in everything, I think, and you want him to have way more snaps this year and be a lot more just basically versatile in any situation, I would think that some preseason work might be worthwhile. That would be the only guy that I was a little – I don't know if I was surprised, but I was interested, and I kind of – I could make the case that he might benefit from that.
You don't have anybody else like him is the other thing. And Wiley was a guy who had a bad day.
Yeah.
And it's obviously very early for him.
Yeah, Wiley, yeah. I mean, look, I put that pick, Malik Willis's pick, I put it more on Malik Willis because
– high and hot.
Yeah, he wasn't under duress. Like you just said, that's an easy one. That's a layup. You got to take the layup. And he didn't. Get both hands on it, and Wiley said so after the game, got both hands on it, and good for him. You know, take responsibility, but yeah, I put it more on Willis. You very closely watch who's gunning, who's, you know, I know with these preseason games, you take a special interest in the special teams goings on. So what do you come away with from that? A little bit of surprise in terms of who got some opportunities?
Well, Matthew Jackson – who played here at Hillsborough High, was the second starting gunner opposite Racy McMath. That's a big surprise because I don't think Matthew Jackson's on this team. So they're giving him a big opportunity there to make an impression. McMath, who you and I maybe think isn't making this team, I think he shouldn't make this team. But he's got that shot there, and he played the most special team snaps of anyone.
He did some things offensively too.
He had 13.
Whatever it's worth.
He had 13 special team snaps. Otis Reese and Ben Neiman, neither of whom I expect to be on this team, had 12 special team snaps. Raider, Campbell, and Mike Brown had 11 special team snaps. Colton Dowell, Carter, and Rush had 10 each. I think Mike Brown really helped himself.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy that was on all four of the main special teams units, which is significant. And I think they like what he's done on defense in practices, and they're not deep at that safety spot. We know that. So I think that helps him. And there was one other. Ward was on at least three of the four main units. We're talking punt, punt cover, kick, kick cover. And so I think the two of them look to be, you know, special teams lock kind of guys.
Special team. Well
Ward
depending
is
on Ward's
not a lock
health.
Now, and now he's hurt. So right. We'll see. But I think Ward's looking good for the roster also if he's healthy.
So do you feel now, based on that, a little bit less resolved that Racy McMath's not making this team? You feel like he has a better chance than we thought? Because I've been drifting away from it just based on his performance with the offense compared to some of the other receivers at the bottom of that room.
Well, nobody played particularly high. So this is a good place to talk about other young guys also, like Eric Garrar.
Uh-huh.
Did some very nice tackling in the second half. And Mike Vrabel was asked about him, which led Mike Vrabel to talk about what I'm hoping to see, which is depth chart movement on the second and third team.
He triggered him and Marsh. Yeah, him and Marsh, they're competitive players. They're not the biggest players, but they're competitive. Obviously, they came in here on a tryout basis, and both of them, you know, have been able to, you know, earn a roster spot and to earn more playing time. You know, I thought Anthony Kendall, in the short amount of time that he had on special teams, did a nice job in his gunner rep, his double team rep, and his single press. So, you know, what we're going to tell the team, you know, tomorrow is there's going to be a lot of individuals that are going to get more playing time, and some that aren't, and some are going to have more opportunities, and some of those threes are going to be twos, and some of those twos are going to be threes, and, you know, that's the nature of this business.
Anthony Kendall got six special teams snaps, and he's getting a special teams mention from Vrabel there.
It sounds like, I mean, that sounds to me pretty clearly like he's a guy who's bumping up. He's also a guy we've both already talked about, you know, defensively with like the twos, three with the threes.
I mean, yeah.
Like he makes plays.
I had him on my podcast last week.
Yeah.
So maybe lucky charm.
Anthony Kendall, yeah, the Kaharski, not curse, the Kaharski blessing. Meanwhile, and this is also funny, like just like the Bears fans and even some media reaction to like those touchdowns. Like actually somebody came on my comment like, will you please tell me how many Titans starters on defense were there? I'm like, yeah, basically none, man. I mean, Armani Marsh is the guy who needs to tackle DJ Moore on that screen. Now, he did get a little shove in the back. It could have been a block in the back. It was close. On the other long one, you got Trey Avery. Now, Trey Avery's a guy who expects to make this team. Steven Jones and Shai Carter that was bad tackling snap for the Titans defense.
Yeah,
some of those guys, you know, you got to. I mean, it's not very conclusive about the Titans defense or the Bears offense, but those guys need to make plays.
Yeah, really bad. I mean, Shane Bowen's going to talk this morning, and I'm sure he'll shred those two plays. Vrabel was, I don't want to say dismissive. He's just like, they're damn screens. You know,
yeah.
So I mean, it's almost like saying, "Well, you know, it's not like we got beat on deep X plays, but they're X plays, and we can't have X plays." But you know, easily solvable. One guy's running into who's 28? Is that Carter running into contact with an offensive lineman, like going to take on an offensive lineman for no reason when the touchdown scorer is running past the offensive lineman. Very odd plays by some of those defensive backs.
There was Molden did blitz on one of those, and it could have made the blitz, you know. And Molden, as a blitzer, I think that's something we're going to see in actual football this year, some. You know, he's on the field. But there's a play that, you know, he could have made.
Not to over-reference Blake Bedingfield, who's one man's opinion. He sees Molden as slow, and he sees Molden's speed as an issue.
Well, I don't think it's ever been exceptional,
no.
Right? But
Molden's always confused me because when they didn't make any effort to re-sign Logan Ryan without naming him, Mike Vrabel said after the loss to Kansas City in the playoffs, we've got to get more vertical at nickel. When he basically said, you know, we used to look at it as a horizontal position, and this is me interpreting, Logan Ryan was a very good horizontal player, but he certainly wasn't a vertical guy.
Teams get you in those matchups
and
in the slot.
Tyreek Hill was in the slot and destroyed them. And so, okay, they need more speed at nickel. Then a year later, they draft Molden, who reminds you more of Logan Ryan. He's not a deep guy.
Not a burner.
I don't understand. They didn't get more vertical in the slot. Now, McCreary is somewhat more vertical, but he's also not a burner.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Molden, I think it may be that he's transitioning toward being a safety in this league almost exclusively. I don't know. But they do need safety depth, so he's going to be on the field some either way. But it's a fair point for sure. And we still haven't talked about the quarterbacks. We got some thoughts on them. I swear we're getting to them. We will get to them next. Malik Willis, Will Levis, what did we think of how they played? What does it mean? Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
As far as Malik goes, I mean, did he continue to do yesterday what you've seen in practices as far as being
Yeah, I thought that there was some composure. I thought that, there were some opportunities for him to run. He ran, and was able to do that. Thought he did a nice job, when he did get out of the pocket, keeping his eyes down the field and was able to be a thrower when he felt like there was something there. Never going to restrict his ability to make plays with his feet, just be smart with the football. You saw him convert down there in the red zone for, a huge, huge first down that allowed us to then eventually score with Malik there at the end of that first drive.
That's Mike Vrabel talking about Malik Willis and his performance Saturday in the Titans preseason loss to the Bears. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex, 125, 106.3 The Game. Joe Rex here with Paul Kaharsky, in for Robbie Stanley.
I am here thanks to my guys at Nashville Grass 365, a locally owned and operated for nearly 10 years. What you need to do is go on Instagram and check it out, because you can see all the fine work they do. Their account is grass365_Nashville. So head to Instagram, grass365_Nashville. A lot of you are probably saying, I need to write this down and check it out eventually. Well, you're only going to hear about it for another show and a half. So write it down now. Instagram, grass365_Nashville.
So the quarterbacks, Paul, you come away thinking what? Thinking anything different than you thought going into the game?
Well, I expected Malik Willis to translate the improvement we've seen in practice into the game, and he did. But you still saw some of the stuff, a couple instances of indecisiveness. And look, he was the far better quarterback, but he also made the far bigger mistakes. Put the ball on the ground twice, lost it once, threw the pick. And that stuff needs to be clean.
Now, granted, Levis tried to throw one on his first throw, but
right. Yeah. You wrote about them being in a position to feel more comfortable about the chance to win a game or compete with a guy coming in off the bench. But the number one thing for backup quarterbacks in the league generally, and for this team specifically, is to come in and play mistake free. And Willis didn't give off the air of being in a position where he could come in and play mistake free yet. So I'm less excited than a lot of people seem to be about him, because he wasn't close to mistake free.
Yeah.
Now he's still got time, and he's coming from a place where he was absolutely terrible. So the progress is good.
Yeah.
Levis, look, you got to remember,
it's all relative.
Yeah. For Levis, you got to remember it's his very first time, and so I think Vrabel hit the key word with Levis is a composure. He seemed completely comfortable and not overtaken by the moment or anything like that. And I think he hit just the right thing on his last drive. It wasn't the last play so much where he threw a bad pick, but the second to last play where he missed a very makeable throw that if it wasn't going to be a touchdown, it was going to get them inside the 10-yard line and put them in a much better position. And I think Levis, in terms of his ability to recognize what he did and talk about it, is very good. And Terrell Williams said that about Malik. He was coming to the sideline and saying, I missed that, right, or I needed to do this. So it sounds like they're both pretty good in terms of identifying things in the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting with Levis. I think because I've definitely have had some reaction from fans. It's like, this is so disappointing that, you know, Levis is where he is right now. But it's just, I mean, I watch him play, and I did not watch it closely, but I saw all the highlights of Anthony Richardson's debut. He's probably going to start for the Colts, and it's probably going to be ugly a lot of this year. Like, I mean, look, Anthony Richardson may end up being a great player, but like I look at him, and I'm not sure. You know, I wouldn't rank Levis right now as a safer play in a game than Anthony Richardson, for example. I'm just saying, like, rookie quarterbacks, how many rookie quarterbacks at this stage are like, oh, wow, he's ready? I mean, I guess
Bryce Young, Joe Burrow, you know. Bryce Young got hit on two of his first three throws and three of his first seven.
So, yeah. Now, Bryce Young, it looked like, you know, no surprise, but it looked like he – like when he had any kind of chance, ball was out fast, ball was out. You know, I mean, I think Bryce Young's going to be great personally. But, I mean, how many rookies at this stage are like, oh, yeah, in total command? I mean, again, Patrick Mahomes got a redshirt year. Like, I remember, I think he played the Titans in his – didn't he play the Titans in a preseason game his rookie year, and he made some ridiculous throw, right?
I don't recall.
I think so. But, you know, again, like at that point, Patrick Mahomes not ready to do anything. I mean, I'm sure it would have been ups and downs, and you would have seen the talent. But I think it just, I think you're overreacting a little bit right now if you think that Levis should be, you know, snap your fingers and he's ready to go. I think also some people are disappointed that Willis is still. I mean, to me, it's clear Willis right now is QB2 and Levis is QB3. Right?
Yeah, I'm disappointed that Levis isn't better than Willis or closer to Willis. But part of that is my surprise at Willis having gotten as much better as he has, which right. I didn't see coming at all.
Exactly. That's right. That's the thing. I mean, Willis's improvement is drastic. You're right. It's not perfect. I'm not saying, yeah, Malik Willis. I mean, right now, 2024 Titans, do you feel good about either of them being a starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans next season?
No.
No. Will you? Will people? I don't know. I just don't know. There's a long way to go for both of them. But
and look,
but
they set it up that way on purpose. They set it up that way on purpose. I mean, they bought themselves a year to see these two guys grow and put themselves in a spot where they are either in competition or Levis is, in their eyes, ready, or conceivably Tannehill has a good year and they could go back to the table with him.
Yeah.
They give themselves options.
Right. I mean, and they have that, and I could see it going a number of ways right now.
You can't say right now because you need to see three different things play out.
Which another part about that is, you know, once the season gets going, right, I mean, those reps are scarce. So, like, especially when you have two guys who are, you know, usually a team has a starter and then you have the backup. The backup's doing the show team stuff or whatever, getting some, you know, has to be ready, has to be able to go in at a moment's notice. But if it is these three, which I think it will be, that's kind of interesting too, right? The scarcity of reps and, like, how you divvy up the work and how you detect progress once the season gets moving. Yeah, I mean, kind of put that on the shelf.
Well, Pat O'Hara used to have, when he was quarterback coach, kind of Friday session with Logan Woodside every week that was to kind of solve the problem you're saying. There's not enough work for him during the week, and so we'll do extra stuff on Friday to make up for what you're not getting. And I'd be surprised if Charles London / Tim Kelly don't do something like that with these two guys this year, because they've got to do something to progress them and to get a better feel for them over the course of the year, particularly if Tannehill stays healthy.
Yeah. I'm going to give away a pair of tickets right now to see the Nashville Predators take on the Seattle Kraken, a little preseason hockey at Bridgestone Arena, September 27th, let's call it caller number 4. And we come back on Robbie and Rex Show. We will continue on the quarterbacks with some thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.